right up. Ladies and gentlemen, what we've got here is truly remarkable, outright amazing, absolutely wonderful. It's Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry. You knew that's where I was going, right? Hi there. Welcome to this here electronic engineering podcast brought to you by eejournal.com and hosted by yours truly, Amelia Dalton. How are you this fine Friday? I'm absolutely great, and I'm ready to get started on some always-on, always-sensing IoT business with Tom Doyle, CEO of Aspinity. Tom and I talk about the challenges facing all of us as we develop the next generation of IoT devices, and why the answer to our power problems plaguing our always-on, always-sensing designs is architectural. Let's go. Hi, Tom. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me. Great to talk to you.
So first off, for my audience who may not know, what is Aspinity all about?
Yeah, so it's a little bit implied in the name, but we combine a couple of different things. We leverage analog capabilities. We do signal processing. But what we're really about and what we're trying to target is to enable that next generation of what we call always on, always sensing devices. I don't know if you know this or not, but about every second, about another 127 devices are connected to the internet. The vast majority of these and the biggest growth of these is in battery powered products. And so to be have an always on sensing device that can last a long time on battery, it really takes some unique technology. And that's exactly what we're focused on. We want to enable this next generation of products.
So you participated in a session at the MEMS and Sensors Executive Congress called the MEMS and Sensors Fuel Intelligence Movement, where you talked about the challenges of always-on sensing applications. And you said that power issues will be deal breakers for some applications, and that the answer to this issue is architectural. So tell me more about that, and why do you think that is?
Yeah, it's an interesting challenge that's in front of us. And we talk with a lot of makers and people that are designing these next generation devices, whether they're voice driven, whether they're industrial IoT, whether they're bio-inspired. The big challenge that we see constantly and hear constantly is, hey, we're moving from the cloud to the edge. But as I get to the edge, I'm forced to make these trade-offs. And the trade-offs are between power and features. And so what you find is that more and more at the need to address the power and have longevity, that there's a trade-off and that features are being limited, capabilities are being limited. And so we see that more and more. And if you think about it, the challenge is this. So we've seen over the last decade this move from the cloud to the edge. Now, at the cloud, you have very high-end processing capabilities. So you're just plumbing and pushing data up to the cloud and deriving inferences from it. But now when we try to move some of this down to the edge for good reason, from efficiency as well as privacy issues, we find that we're trying to do all of this capability and this CPU throughput with small form factor processors at the edge. And so it just really goes in a challenging direction. When we say there's trade-offs and deal breakers, it's because something needs to change with regards to the system, the edge system, and that's what we address and that's what we look at.
So you guys recently unveiled your RAMP platform. So tell me more about RAMP.
Yeah, so RAMP is a pretty unique technology. It is our integrated circuit technology, our chip, our IC, and we have different versions of the RAMP. But the RAMP incorporates a number of innovations that enable it to do certain things at the edge at very efficient power levels, right? And so our focus for the RAMP is really going after that machine learning, that artificial intelligence at the edge, but doing it in a very unique way. So with regards to RAMP, what we can do is it is a signal processing core. So it's able to extract inference, extract events, extract information using the raw, unstructured analog signals that are typically coming from a sensor. So if you think about sensing sound, for instance, all of the sound is in a raw, unstructured form, right? So it's analog by nature. But what we find happening is that typically these current edge processing systems take all that data and immediately digitize it and move it to the DSP or to an SoC or to a microcontroller. And there they take all of that data, good and bad, by the way, and they draw inference from it. So they either detect a wake word, they detect a vibrational anomaly in a piece of equipment, they detect a heart rate. What happens, though, is what you're doing there is you're actually wasting energy, because if we take voice as an example, you're not going to detect a wake word unless, of course, you have a sound that has voice in it. But what we know is about 80-90% of the time, most sound that gets picked up by these devices doesn't have any speech whatsoever. So there's no way there's going to be a wake word. But yet our digital processing capabilities assume that anything can happen at any time. And so they have to process 100% of that sound data, whether there's voice or not. And so we changed that with the ramp. So the ramp is actually earlier in the signal chain. It actually gates those downstream components. And we're able to detect speech. And so we can wake up the wake word engine and say, hey, there's speech. There may be a wake word, so go ahead and check. Or we can wake up a piece of machinery that's been, let's say, asleep for months, if not years, when we find an anomaly that's starting to exhibit itself, and then wake it up and call maintenance to actually look deeper into the problem, see what's needed to be done to address that. So that's what we do with RAMP. It's a semiconductor product, but it's programmable. And so it can be programmed for different event detections, as I described.
Okay, cool. So, Tom, can you tell me more about the analog innovations here? What are we really looking at in that part of the picture?
Yeah, it's a great question. So we have a number of innovations and patents that help us to achieve what we can do with the RAMP. That being said, analog is, there's two facets to analog. One is we operate in the analog domain, as I had mentioned. But the other facet is we move capabilities that machine learning engineers typically assume with digital processors. We move those to analog, and that's what our innovations allow us to do. As a for instance, machine learning developers and application developers that want to train devices to detect sound, they typically use neural networks. They go in and do feature extraction and then classification of that data to say, hey, that event was glass break. So what we do is we actually move those capabilities of feature extraction and classification with the neural network into analog. And so we've implemented a complete classification network within the analog domain, not digital. And so that's really where our innovations lie, is that we're able to program a neural network that we have implemented in our chip, but we also do feature extraction more efficiently because we do analog feature extraction. Now, all that being said, it's a double-edged sword for us. On the one hand, we're able to achieve our capabilities using analog circuitry, but you do not have to be an analog designer to understand how to use our technology. We make it very simple in the form of an SDK and development environment that someone that's very accustomed to developing a machine learning model for a digital core can follow the same process and develop a machine learning model for our RAMP core.
So I can imagine, Tom, that there are a lot of different applications that could use this kind of technology. What are you guys seeing?
We have been working with our technology for quite a number of years as we developed it. We want to test it across many applications. Keep in mind, the RAMP is a signal processing core. So we're not a sensor, we're a signal processing core. So we can really support many different sensors, and by that, we can support many different applications. Now, in the last few years, we've noticed and become accustomed and worked with a number of companies, including one of our investors, Amazon, that voice is becoming that interface of the future. And so what we see today is that application where voice is now spread and is ubiquitous, and that means it has to move to mobile devices. And to move to mobile devices, as we talked about previously, it becomes a power and an efficiency issue to last a long time on battery power. So our lead application, our lead focus is on voice and voice systems, but we have been working and we see other applications. As a, for instance, if you consider voice as an acoustic event, we also can program our RAMP and have programmed our RAMP for other applications that we call acoustic event detection for security and for other applications. For instance, breaking glass, or alarms, or other events, baby cry, door knocks. These are all events that can be programmed into the RAMP and provide an early wake-up for a more rich system. But when you go beyond acoustics or beyond voice, so instead of using a microphone, we can use an accelerometer as I mentioned earlier, to be able to detect the first instance of a problem on a piece of machinery. Today, these devices that monitor those are always on, and we will be always on, but we do it at such a lower power level. And then eventually down the road, we started to work in imaging, vision processing, where we had a lot of benefit, and eventually in the wearable biomedical technology. So if you think about the body with regards to heart rate, with regards to other passive signals that are coming from the body, we can actually process those and analyze those and create event detection. Say, for instance, detect an AFib or some kind of heart arrhythmia and do it at very low power level. So it just opens up the door for so many different applications that we see for this type of technology. And that's what we're hearing from customers as well.
All right, Tom, it is time for your off-the-cuff question. Now, I know you're a big basketball fan like myself, and you especially like collegiate ball. So tell me, Tom, why do you like college ball more than the NBA?
Truth be told, I like them both. But I think if you never know what's going to happen in the collegiate domain. These are amateurs. Many will become pro, and they're very good. But it's just so exciting to watch because you never know the outcome until you get to the actual final seconds of the game. And I've seen some pretty crazy comebacks in those last few minutes. It's just so exciting to watch. And you see the young kids that get excited, right? It's a very exciting game to watch. The pros, great. They are so good, but there's a lot of expectations there. But in the collegiate domain, I just love the amateur nature of it and the ability for them to surpass different odds to overcome and beat number one, for instance, which we just saw happen, I think, about a week ago. So I think it's just great. I love watching it.
I think you definitely have a point there. Well, Tom, I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you. Appreciate talking to you.
Okay, folks, I've got an idea. What if we designed some kind of always-on, always-sensing mirror where we could ask said mirror if we looked good that day? You know, like a little pick-me-up when we're not feeling our best. You know, something like, mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the... Yeah, I know, it's been done before. But if we wanted to do something like that... Well, sure, we might need a little help from Aspinity's ramp platform. Maybe we'd only make 100 of them and put them on the Kickstarter Make 100 campaign. But in order to make any of this happen, we also need to talk about speakers. Until recently, putting speakers into extremely space-constrained designs was a daunting challenge. But folks, this is all about to change. Oh yeah. Let me introduce you to the Piezo Listen, a whole new kind of high-performance, multi-layer piezo speakers. And these bad boys can go into a whole bunch of new places, including mirrors. Intrigued? Yeah, I thought so. And guess what? I have a brand new, hot off the digital presses episode of Chalk Talk all about it. In Piezo Listen, a new kind of speaker for new applications, I sit down with Matt Reynolds of TDK and talk about all the cool aspects of the Piezo Listen. And spoiler alert, they're really cool. And you can check out this episode of Chalk Talk by heading on over to the Chalk Talk section of EE Journal. Can't miss it. It's right across the top. By clicking the link below the player on this week's Fish Frying page on eejournal.com. Or head on over to YouTube, youtube.com/EEJournal. Hey, have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should. You can find us at facebook.com/EEJournal. If you're into Twitter, you can monitor our tweets at EEJournalTFM. And don't forget, if you want to follow my personal Twitter account, check out AmeliaD1978. And hey, if LinkedIn is more your thing, sure, I get it. You can follow us on LinkedIn as well. And we have that YouTube channel I mentioned earlier, youtube.com/EEJournal. Folks, it is chock full of all kinds of techie videos, including our very popular Chalk Talk webcast series hosted by me. And you can subscribe to our EE Journal YouTube channel as well. Also, by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Frying page, you can check out our Fish Fry archive or subscribe to Fish Fry via the iTunes store. And remember, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, just head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Frying page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, any fun EE conference coming up that I absolutely should attend, or even the best geeky hotspot in your city, I love that stuff. Shoot me a line at amelia@eejournal.com or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of December 6th, 2019, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.